to see Nathan doing the work of the Lord. Returning to Leviticus in the Old Testament scriptures, Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We'll commence with verse 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Isn't that a text that you could certainly use when people use that text out of context, judge not lest you be judged. It says here, in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Do you remember this verse as a theme verse a couple years ago? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Notice the repeat, I am Jehovah, saying, take these words seriously. They are given for a reason. Our text today is Leviticus 19:16 in particular. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not go, or thou shalt not walk as slanderers. Thou shalt not walk as gossips among your people. Last fall, on Wednesdays, we considered the vice of gossip, which is a breach of several commandments. It is a means of dishonoring our neighbor. It is certainly a means of slandering, of hurting their reputation, commandment numbers 5 and 6. It is certainly stealing their honor and their name, commandment 8. It is often untrue what is being said, number 9, and perhaps even because we have coveted their position or something about them that we envy, commandment number 10. This was in part as in our study of the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue. I felt it necessary to summarize the three studies that we had in a message on file as one of many cautions as we begin the new year. This is one of the vices that's oft repeated in the Word of God. Someone said that over 50 times is gossip warned and admonished in the scriptures. Many, many scriptures warn us of this terrible vice. For instance, in Proverbs, a talebearer revealeth secrets. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Meddle not with him that flattereth with the mouth. The words of a talebearer are wounds. Woe unto them through whom scandals come. God hates those who sow discord among brethren. Romans tells us of whisperers and backbiters. Acts tells us about the Athenians who love to hear something new. In Thessalonians, disorderly and busybodies. In 1 Timothy, wandering busybodies. In 1 Peter, meddlers in the affairs of others, which is the word for bishop of another's diocese, seeking to rule over others. James, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Ephesians, lay aside lying. Titus, speak no evil, or speak evil of no man. And again, in 2 Timothy, blasphemers. Truly it's a vice which God hates, and a sin that is not uncommon, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. The illustration given of the talebearer in Leviticus 19 is a peddler selling tales from house to house, or a reporter that's always publishing others' faults. We certainly need to be very careful in the Church of Jesus Christ. I want us again to get an understanding of gossip, to hate it, to confess it, to avoid it, and to reverse it in Christ wherever we are, in the home and in the church and in society. And I'm not usually one who constantly uses alliteration, but I use it today. Perhaps it will be a help to our memory. First of all, we're to spot gossip. What is gossip? Of course, it comes in many forms. A gossiper is called a talebearer in the Bible, one who loves to bear tales, whether they be true or false. The false, obviously, should never be told, and the true tales often shouldn't be told because it's none of our business, or it's none of others' business if we tell the tale. They're called whisperers. It's a sin that backfires, because in Ecclesiastes it says, beware if you curse the king in your private quarters, lest a bird repeats it, and the bird, as it were, becomes a gossiper and people find out. It's common at work, it's common in the cafe, it's common in the news, it's common in the sitcoms, it's common at the table. Unfortunately, it's a common sin, and we need to make it uncommon and if possible, extinct in the home and in the Church of Jesus Christ. Certainly, it consists of speaking lies about someone to others. And we have biblical examples. Shimei lied when he called David a murderer, a bloody man. Jezebel concocted lies to put that saint to death. The Pharisees were lying about Christ and John the Baptist, and calling Christ a glutton and John the Baptist a demon-possessed man. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He tells lies. It also consists in repeating forgiven sins. The Bible calls someone a talebearer, someone who repeats a matter. That is, if a sin is forgiven, there's no need to repeat it, not only to the one who's offended us, but to others who have no business knowing that a person sinned in the first place if it's under the blood. It's spreading untrue information about someone, though it may be unknowingly. We could be ignorantly a gossip. Someone, for instance, saying someone died who didn't would certainly be a terrible tale to tell. How would you like to be met in the street by someone who says, I thought you were dead? Someone told me that you were dead. That would not be. We need to get our facts straight, especially about serious matters. Spreading negatives about someone laterally or downward. The Bible says when we have a sin against us, we're to go to that person, not to others. Certainly, and not to those who we know who would spread any gossip. We're to take it to the person and take it to the Lord. You take it up and you take it to the person who's offended you. That's the scriptural mandate. And I think we should avoid names if we desire to use a fault for instruction, that it best like the Lord used parables, that sometimes it's best just not to use the name. Say, I heard that this happened, and if we can keep someone's reputation from being marred, we should do so. I think that we should avoid intimacies of people's lives and trust that they'll be able to handle their situation, though it be negative, privately before the Lord, if it isn't something that has public ramifications. It can be curious inquiry just for curiosity's sake, not for concern. We have to judge ourselves. Are we wanting information because we're curious or because we're concerned? It was Dinah who was curious who was marred for her curiosity. I wonder what the girls in the world are doing. That kind of curiosity can harm you and hurt you and stain your reputation and ruin your life. We have to be so careful. Someone illustrated gossip in this way. They took their son up to a bell tower with a pillow full of feathers. And they took the feathers out of the pillow and just threw them out of the bell tower window. And the son just watched the feathers blow all over the place, north, south, east, and west. And the father said to the son, "Now, son, go pick up those feathers." And he said, "Dad, it's nearly impossible." And he said, "Son, that's what gossip does. You let it out of the bag, you send tales about someone into society, and it's impossible to retrieve gossip because it'll just spread like wildfire." We should remember that illustration before we would repeat anything about anyone. And as may I say a disclaimer that I am looking in the mirror when I'm preaching this afternoon, and God has spoken to my heart and keeps speaking to my heart about being careful to not be a brother-in-law to the devil who's an accuser of the brethren. Whispering things to exalt ourselves and to demean others. Exposing the weaknesses and faults of others. Rumors, when spread, that wound others' reputation and others' hearts. And may I say that hearers of gossip are guilty as well. The Bible says, neither be partakers of others' sins. You won't become a gossiper if you don't listen to gossip. We need to be careful. We need to spot gossip when it comes. Now, gossip is not when we are offended and we take it to someone. Or if that someone doesn't repent, we take another to that person. Or when we expose it to the church, it's not gossip if it has first been dealt with privately and it cannot but be brought publicly. But a church discipline matter should not be spread in the pages of the newspaper. I understand there are exceptions. If someone in this church murdered another person in this church, that could not just be a private church discipline matter. That's a public sin that would have to be, the authorities would have to be notified. But you understand what I'm saying in the context of Matthew chapter 18. We need to be able to spot gossip. The Lord give us wisdom to spot not only this sin, but all of our sins, so that we might know that we need to confess and we need to deal with them. My message today, by the way, is preach not the gossip, but preach the gospel. Preach not the gossip, but preach the gospel. So spot gossip. Secondly, shun gossip. And this is personally. It says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer, but thou shalt stand up against the blood. Thou shalt stand up against the blood of thy neighbor." I lost my place here, but what is the relation to that second statement? "Now, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor." In other words, it's actually equating gossip with slaying your neighbor. Gossip is if you have stood up against the blood of your neighbor. You have slain his reputation. You've slain him so he's bleeding in the street. It's the picture of someone who has wounded someone, who has assaulted someone and is leaving him for dead. And that's really what we do when we gossip about someone. We take him in the ring and we punch him, and then we walk away and we leave him wounded and hurting. But this has to do with, we need to avoid it personally. We need to determine, if we hear something negative about a person, what are we to do? If it's already been spoken in our ear, we shouldn't repeat a matter. The Bible says the talebearer reveals secrets, but a righteous man conceals the matter. Not, it may not be a permanent concealment, but at least for now, he conceals it. We want to go to the person that we've heard a negative statement about. We want to make sure that it's not out of its context. First of all, there are things that shouldn't be repeated out of a marriage relationship. There are certain things that Tanya and I should not repeat, offenses that we have made against each other. Our children don't need to know that. That's just between us and the Lord. There are family matters that shouldn't go beyond the family. I know there are people who may disagree with these things, but you know, if I get a, well, I know that there are extensive circumstances, but if someone in our family gets a speeding ticket or something, does that have to be spread? Sometimes we just spread it because we want to help others who to avoid those things. But some offense in the family should be contained. There are church offenses, as I said earlier, that shouldn't have to be spread to the community. There are offenses in the school that don't need to be spread. Offenses on my bus that don't need to be spread unless I feel it's important to tell a parent or a principal or a supervisor. But notice I've gone up. I haven't gone laterally. And again, I confess that there are times that I have gone laterally, in the workplace and in many other circumstances. To shun gossip means we speak nothing negative about someone unless to them first, or above them if necessary. Can we say that I have gone to the source first of all, if there is an offense, or someone of equal stature in my position has gone to the source? But again, do I need to know the information, or anyone else? Or can it be dealt with just in that context? We need to repent of gossip and backbiting and whispering where we have committed this sin. And we need to defend the person who is being gossiped about. We need not to stand up against the blood of our neighbor, but we need to stand up for the blood of our neighbor until we have found out the truth. And even if we have found out the truth, if he's repentant or she's repentant, they don't need to be dragged in the streets. Can you remember, I think it was in Iran, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was Iraq, that one of our soldiers was killed and they dragged him through the streets. He was already dead. It was just to further embarrass the United States of America. It's easier to prevent a sin than recover it. We need to always remember that. Just like the illustration of the pillow feathers. It's easier to prevent a sin than to recover after it's committed. And this especially is something important for Christians who visit souls. The Bible tells us that women were not to be slanderers deacons were not to be those who slandered, because as they visited people to find out their needs, they were not to misuse their opportunities of witness for the Lord as opportunities to spread gossip. And so we need to make sure that we don't send people on errands for the Lord who have a propensity to gossip. We need to make sure that we deal with that easily besetting sin. We need to refuse to hear. The Bible says, meddle not with those who are flatterers of the mouth. And we need to, I know this is extreme, but it is still something mentioned in the Bible, to break fellowship with gossips who will not repent. It says, 1 Corinthians 6:11, to not associate with revilers. And revilers are those who accuse and those who spread tales about people. As 2 Thessalonians says about busybodies, who meddle in others' affairs, and if they don't repent, Paul said we're to withdraw ourselves from them, not to count them as an enemy, but as admonish them as a brother. So the Lord help us not only to spot it, but to shun it personally. May I say thirdly, to stop gossip. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise or surely rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And so we need to shun it ourselves, but when it's gaining momentum, God help us to stop it. And it says here, it starts in the heart. We need to love our brothers. If someone is gossiped about, if we don't love that person, it's easier to let it go. But we need to not hate our brother in our heart. In other words, we're more prone to gossip about someone if we don't like him. But the Bible says that we ought never to dislike God's people. I've heard people tell me, well, I'll love them, but I won't like them. Is that biblical? The Lord isn't saying, well, I want you to make the person that's hardest to love in the church your best friend. That isn't necessarily the command of Scripture, but that's a goal. Wouldn't that be a worthy goal to make that person your friend? And we all know that in the clubs out in society, people choose the clubs where the people in the clubs are more like they are. But there's something about the church that shows the sovereignty of God. That God puts people in the same church that may never want to be in the club together. Because so often we're unlike each other, naturally speaking. But that's where God's wisdom and power is shown. That He's able to bring people together with different personalities and through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring unity and love and fellowship and worship and honor to the Lord and work together to glorify Him and to show this could not have happened except by the grace and power of God. Verse 15, it tells us, in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. We have to make sure, first of all, that a gossiper is indeed a gossiper. A gossiper is not someone who comes to the church elders and says, look, this situation is happening in the church, and could you investigate it? If that person has gone to that person or persons and there isn't any listening, there isn't any rapport, then the person is not a gossiper to bring it to the leadership in order for there to be an investigation. But we need to determine the truth and then act upon it. We need to exonerate someone who is gossiped against unwisely and harmfully. We need to reprove gossips. The Bible says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. It's interesting how it mentions that someone that we hate in our hearts, we may not even want to rebuke them because they may disgust us so much we don't even want to speak to them. And is it possible that in the depths of our hearts we could be thinking, well, if I rebuke them, they may get right with God and I may have to have fellowship with them? But the Bible says that true love rebukes the neighbor. Reproof is welcomed by the wise man. And so there are times we need to reprove or convict. And may we pray for gracious admonition. We need to make sure that when we reprove someone else, we do it as one who's been forgiven. The Bible says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual. And of course, anyone can go off on that, but he's saying, you who are in the Spirit, you that are spiritual, restore such a one, but in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of self-control and grace. So there needs to be gracious admonishment. God help me in this. It's easy to admonish without being gracious. So that means before we admonish someone, we should be on our knees, asking first of all that the Lord would forgive us of our sins, asking second of all, that as we approach the individual, that we might do so humbly, with love, as one who's who's a sinner who's been forgiven, one who's able to empathize. And secondly, we need to be people who facilitate reproof by listening. If we're the one that needs to be reproved, we need to facilitate the love of someone who's taken courage and prayerfulness and every bit of humility to be able to come to us and talk to us about our need. And that angry countenance may have to be the extreme, but the Bible does say as the north wind drives away rain, so an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. And may the Lord not have to use an angry countenance to reprove us. May it be a gracious admonisher, one who comes humbly. May we facilitate that reproof by listening. The Bible says it will hide a multitude of sins. It will avert catastrophe. A multitude of sins is nothing short of a catastrophe. And is it not in the Navy, the slip of a lip sinks a ship? Nehemiah said of people that were supposed to be loyal to him in Nehemiah 6:19, they uttered all my words to Tobiah. Even gossip is spreading words that may be true, but we know to someone that is going to use them to harm us. Delilah's gossip cost Samson his eyesight. In a sense, it was gossip, but Philistines didn't need to know that information about Goliath. Of course, Goliath shouldn't have shared that information with Delilah, but you'd think you could trust your spouse. But Delilah was not trustworthy, was she? You think of late shows and soap operas. We need to be so careful. I would say don't watch these things. But I confess my sin in watching 2020 not long ago, and I watched it too long. They just exposed John Edwards and all the wickedness. Yes, it's come out that there are some things that have been said and done that are atrocious. But should everything in someone's life be brought out in public? Should there not be maybe a specific or two that are necessary in the life of a senator or a congressman and let the judges deal with it? Does it have to come out in public? And do we have to all, as people listen, is it not constituted as gossip when it goes too far? We need to spot gossip. We need to shun gossip. We need to stop gossip. Fourthly, we need not preach the gossip but the gospel. We need to suffocate gossip. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to gossip. Verse 17, we're not to hate. We're not to have animosity, and we're not to dislike people. And may I say, anyone that we dislike, that's the person we should be praying for every day. People that we have to deal with on a regular basis are the very people we should pray for love, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 18, we're not to avenge. We're not to have vengeance. We're not to hope for their retribution. I can't wait till they fall. That may be the very person that God lifts up above us. We're not to begrudge them. That is, to be unfriendly and boiling over when we meet them, when we pass them by. We're to love them. Positive goodness and grace. Love your enemies, even. How much more our brethren that may cross us the wrong way. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. Can we honestly answer this question? Can we say that we're the most lovable person to the Lord Jesus Christ? That we easily facilitate His lordship over us? That we easily facilitate His teaching to us? Are we the easiest person to teach? Are we the easiest person to love? We need to suffocate gossip by loving, by forgiving. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness will suffocate gossip. A forgiving people, a forgiving spouse, a forgiving daughter, a forgiving son, a forgiving family member, a forgiving believer will suffocate gossip. How Christ was so forgiving. You think of so many offenses that the disciples committed in the presence of the Lord. Here he was talking about going to the cross, and they were talking about who was the greatest. Paul forgave John Mark. The Christians forgave Paul. You imagine how sheepish he must have been when he went to some of these places like Damascus after he was saved. Jerusalem. Had to face family members who had to face a widow when he put her husband to death. Had to face a widower when he put his wife to death. Had to face a parent whose only son was executed at Paul's word. Can you not see Paul praying with that person in the church? Can you not see Paul asking for forgiveness? It must have been hard to forgive compared to someone, to forgiving someone that may not have, that didn't commit as serious a sin against us. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. It smothers them, doesn't it? Love suffers long. Love thinketh no evil because it forgave. Forgive means to forget. And so when it says love thinketh no evil, literally, love counts no evil. How many times has your husband sinned against you? Zero. I don't remember any. They're forgiven. I don't count. I don't count the sins. I count the blessings. The Lord says He casts our sins into the deepest sea as far as the east is from the west. The Bible tells us to be slow to speak. Hey, if we're slow to speak, we'll be slow to gossip. Because you can't gossip without the tongue. Well, I guess you can gossip with a pen, can't you? You need to be slow to write. Slow to speak. Slow to listen to gossip. Quick to forgive. Quick to speak well of others. Quiet to other people's business is what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians. To be quiet to other people's business and to mind our own business. To suffocate the gospel. And may I say, lastly, we're not to preach the gossip, but preach the gospel. We need to swap the gospel. Swap the gossip for the gospel. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that the Lord's golden rule? We want others gossiping about us. We want others to know what we hang out on our, what dirty laundry we hang out, or what is hanging on our line out back. Pray for my faults to leave. Don't repeat them. Tell me kindly that I'm hurting myself. Don't tell others that I'm hurting. Spread all the good news possible. Don't spread the bad news. Spread the good news. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say go into all the world and spread the gossip about every creature. Spread the good news. Spread salvations. We have a lot to talk about, don't we? Who's been saved? Who's been restored? My son is found. He said, let's have a party. He's come back. He was lost, but now he's found. He called them all. He wanted them all to know about the restoration. But he didn't call a party when his son left home. I don't think the father spread the gossip of the prodigal. I'm sure it was spread by the older brother. And people found out, but the father wept over it, didn't he? Or he told his select friends who wondered where his son went. But I don't know how much he told them, but he prayed for him. And he told those who he knew had a concern and not just a curiosity. We need to spread when people have had babies, when they've had recoveries from sicknesses, when they've had marriages, blessings, joys, achievements. There's all kinds of good news to spread, isn't there? We swap gossip for the gospel, and we accept reproof with humility and consideration. Jesus said, remember, preach the gospel to every creature. The devil wants to preach gossip to every creature. He's an accuser of the brethren. Remember, Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. But can we not say the reverse is true, as hot waters, as lukewarm waters are to a thirsty soul, so is bad news from a far country. I thought that warm water would quench my thirst the other day. I had a little scratchy throat. It was worse. Oh, it was so nice to take just cold water and take it down my throat. That's good news from a far country. Our sins abound, brothers and sisters, even in the church. Sin abounds, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Yes, pride and lust and cowardice, greed, anger, unfriendliness, unbelief, and gossip abound. There's much to gossip about if we could, if we would. Remember, the first gossip started in the Garden of Eden. What hast thou done, Eve? The serpent, the devil made me do it. What hast thou done, Adam? The woman that you gave me. Talk about impugning God. You gave me the woman. It's I, Lord, that stand in the need of prayer. Where sin abounded, but Christ's righteousness abounds more. Grace abounds more. God's blessings abound more than sin to gossip about. God's goodness and grace are long-lasting topics. They'll last for time and eternity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who filleth thy mouth with good things. And the picture there is, if you've ever seen a chipmunk or a square with nuts in its cheeks, plenty of nuts to bring out, to spread around. Gossip is easily besetting. We have a propensity to gossip. A talebearer almost takes on a personality. Did you know that he didn't just say, it talks about talebearers, not talebearing all the time. Sin can be so easily besetting, we take it on as a personality. The Lord deliver. Man, in fact, it says of the lost that liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, adulterers. And sometimes even we as believers feel like it's such an easily besetting, such a weaving around us of the garment of sin that we've become a tale bearer. And we need the Lord's blood again to wash us. Love causes a concern about others. As someone said, love is concerned about others' business, but not busy about the concerns of others. The news that we want to hear, is it for scandal? Is it for conversation? Is it for instruction? Or is it for weeping and prayer or edification and encouragement? Preach not the gossip, but preach the gospel. I'm not going to preach on this particular vice very often, but I think it needs to be preached often enough because it's a reoccurring sin, not just in the world. What does the world have if they have not Christ? A reoccurring sin. A sin they can't have victory over. But thank God in the church there is a place to take our sin to the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord cause this church to be a church that has good news, cold water for thirsty souls that come here. A church that preaches the gospel, not the gossip. A church that's not a soap opera. A church that's a real place where real people can come together and pray and praise the Lord, and confess our sins to one another and not be afraid. The whole world will find out. We'll pray one for another that we might be healed. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that Thou will continue to speak to our hearts. We do believe that the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the Word. Lord, where there needs to be more explanation and application, help us, we pray, in our own reading and study and conversation to exhort each other, to admonish one another. Bless this congregation. Lord, we pray that You'd forgive our sins, our vices. Lord, may we know the virtue of Your grace and goodness. You'd give us the fruit of the Spirit and not the lust of the flesh. Thank You, Lord, that You love us and care for us, that You would walk in the midst of the candlesticks, not only to exhort and encourage, but to reprove us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Lord, I thank You for the rebuke. Please help me not to repeat this sin. You said that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, You said to the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. We thank You that those words are not just for her, that You're saying that with Your power behind it. Help us to go and not practice this sin, and know that we have the power of God, we have the promise of God, we have the blood of Christ, we have the encouragement and prayer of believers, we have, yea, the angels who are Thy servants to minister to us. Lord, we need Your blessing. Your blessing will not be upon a sinful people. Purge us of sin and bless us and cause Thy face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be upon earth, Thy salvation to all nations. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.